welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning political cesspool radio program is now upon us. It's Saturday evening, February 6th. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined now by political cesspool co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller. From Merlin Miller to the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, and no relation at that. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. Every time I hear your voice, fella, I'm doing better. So it looks like the papaw curse struck again. Officer Mac Lamb's going to be coming on the second half of our show tonight. We got our times mixed up, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ed, you know, we're all here, all of the members of the hosting staff, myself, Eddie, Keith, Bill Rowland, and Winston Smith. If it's a show in which any of those co-hosts are going to appear, I always, you know, we get together every week for a pre-show briefing on what we're going to talk about. And I give all of them the autonomy to go and book their own guests, and, you know, and sometimes they do that. Well, Eddie, you know, Eddie's been booking guests since he's been a part of this crew, which has been since about 2006. Yeah, Eddie came on a couple of years after we got rolling and has been an integral part of the team for the past 4 years. But, Eddie, I don't know if you've ever booked a guest that has shown up on time.
Hey, it's the papaw curse. Hey, but no sweat. I've got
if they show up at all, it's a step ahead of what Ron Paul did to us.
I'm telling you. Hey, speaking of Ron Paul, now, I'm telling you, not going to promise the listeners anything, but I mean, it's just really got me drooling and water at the mouth. I've talked to a fellow, and I'll just start off with this to give people a brief preview who may be coming on. I'm hoping and praying to God we can get him on. There's a fellow named Walter Reddy in Connecticut, and it was by serendipity that I ran upon this fellow. He was instrumental in, this is the guy we're going to try to get on in the near future. So he said he's raring to come on. He is the one in his living room in Connecticut that, really put together, he was one of the instrumental people in putting together a whole smorgasbord of, activist groups. He was involved, or he's right there on the ground floor of putting in the Campaign for Liberty that, you know, Ron Paul started. And he's also, he was the one that helped put together the Oath Keepers, in Connecticut. And he rubs elbows, he knows, the entire Paul family, he knows, Congressman Ron Paul, he knows Rand Paul, and he said he would very much like to come on and talk about, he's also involved with one of my very favorite guests, is in Dr. Edwin Vera.
And, you know, yeah, that's one of your pet guys, Dr.
Yes,
Edwin Vera, a great constitutional authority. And, of course, Officer Jack McLamb, who will be with us a little bit later tonight, and I mentioned earlier that Officer Jack McLamb, who is a repeat guest on this radio program, is the highest decorated police officer in the history of the city of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, the reason we're having Jack back on the show tonight, Ed, was because you caught his recent appearance on the Alex Jones show, and he was talking about some things, and you gave him a call and said, you know, we need to get you back on the cesspool to talk about that. So what's Officer Jack going to be talking about tonight?
Well, you know what? I've never seen him quite so animated and fired up. You know, he's usually the opposite of me. You know, how I kind of get out of control sometimes and let my temper get away from me. It's a bad thing a lot of times. But
just don't let that happen on the radio, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, but I tell you, I can't hit anybody because my shoulder's messed up. but you know, hey, maybe that's keeping me out of trouble. I thought, well, maybe God has messed my shoulder up to keep me out of jail.
You still got that trigger finger, though.
I'm telling you, and it still works good. Hey, like that book that Jesse Ventura published, I'm kind of the same sentiment I have is don't start the revolution without me.
There you go. Well, that's why you're the bombardier, Pappy.
Well, Jack was on Alex Jones. I found out recently. Matter of fact, I wanted to come on with him week before last, but my voice was totally shot. But what happened in Texas that's really alarmed me, the Fed, at the direction of our president, if that's what you want to call him, the illegal alien president, whatever the hell he is, the dictator, wannabe dictator of the universe president, he has sicked what he's done. See, he can't get around the Constitution and the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, you know, all the way through. So he's told his goons in the federal government to go in and harass gun owners, and specifically gun shows. So what they did down in Austin, Texas, they went down and they busted up. And I'm going to get Officer Mac Lamb to speak to this because he has personal knowledge of it. They went in and busted up the oldest gun show in Austin, Texas, maybe the oldest gun show in all of Texas. I'm not going to swear to that, but I know it's the oldest one they've ever had in Austin. They went in and they started harassing the customers. They started harassing the fella who ran the gun show. And, and they literally said this. They said, we know there's no law. You know, what they're doing was illegal, and they admitted it was illegal, but they said, we don't give a damn. We're going to shut you down anyway. Well, you know, Obama, before that criminal was ever even elected to the presidency, yeah, if you want to call it an election, really, you know, we all know that the elections are a farce now. I'd like to speak to that later on, too. But, see, he calls people like us, James, you know, he calls us the clingers. Are you familiar with that term?
Called worse.
He says that we cling, and especially in the South, and at the time he had been rejected in West Virginia big time. He was speaking to those people, and pretty much the people in the South. He said, we cling to our Bibles and our guns, you know, like that's a bad thing. But, see, here's the thing. Obama has sickened the federal government, not only on Texas, but states nationwide. As a matter of fact, here in Tennessee, there is a law. I don't have the number. Really doesn't matter. Anybody wants to go on the internet can go in the Tennessee House and look it up. You know, you can just type in, you know, gun ban law, et cetera, the law, you know, legislation. But what they're doing, they're putting a law, they're trying to get a law passed in the state of Tennessee through the state house that says that they want to start, in my words, harassing the gun show owners and the customers. For instance, they've got all these draconian rules. They're going to try to make, the people who run the gun shows just go through endless amounts of red tape, jump through endless amounts of hoops, and they're trying to outlaw the private sale of guns between two individuals. Which is perfectly legal in all the states. There's no law against that. But in Tennessee and other states, at the request of Obama, of course, there's money exchanged. They pay these stoolies off in the governors and state legislatures, and they're trying to get them pass these laws to take our guns away from us.
So basically, they want to regulate the sale of guns, meaning Joe couldn't go sell Bob a gun.
It's even worse than that, James. They want to make it where a grandpa like myself can't even give my grandson a little bolt action single shot 22 rifle.
All right. And I want to say this. And obviously when Jack McLam comes on, he's going to be able to give us more facts and figures about this. But it's very serious. I mean, I guess it's an issue that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes because there's so much to cover, but the right to keep and bear arms, folks, if we don't have that, and if we don't safeguard that as ardently as we can, we've got nothing. And those gun shows that you're talking about, Ed, I've been to a lot of gun shows in my time. And in fact, when I've mentioned twice now working for Pat Buchanan back in 2000, his last presidential run, we always set up a booth at the gun shows. Every time there would be a big gun show in Tennessee, we'd set up a presence there. You will never find more salt-of-the-earth, blue-collar, tax-paying, kind-hearted, God-loving American citizens than you'll find at these gun shows. This is what America is all about. These are the people who keep America running, and these are the people that this corrupt, rogue government in Washington wants to basically make them feel as though they're criminals now.
You're right.
Trying to criminalize the people who are the backbone of this nation.
You know, and James, like I was listening to the to you speak with the other guests, and y'all mentioned a police state. Well, we've known, all the guys in the cesspool. I mean, we've known that our country has been inching toward a police state, a dictatorship, just a total police state. It's been inching that way for years and years and years. But you know what alarms me is it's accelerated so much. As much as aware as we are of what's going on, I have been surprised and shocked of how it's just accelerated recently.
Look, Eddie, hold that thought, and we're going to talk about what we can do to decelerate it and stop it dead in its tracks as the political cesspool continues. Eddie Miller, James Edwards, Officer Jack Malam is going to be up in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found
to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the live show, the political cesspool. Red hot and rolling, live, unrehearsed, and uncensored here. On the Liberty News Radio Network, you're listening to the voice of the conservative right. And for this hour, it's coming from yours truly, James Edwards, and my co-host for the next little bit, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And as Eddie was setting the stage for our forthcoming guest, who'll be with us next segment, Officer Jack McLam. He's going to give us more facts and figures about the attempted, I guess you would call it, criminalization of the gun shows in Austin, Texas. Officer Jack McLam going to be on to talk with us more about that. But, Eddie, I want to talk for a second here about the Tea Party convention that's taking place right now in Tennessee in Nashville. We're going to talk about that in this segment. But first, we've been talking about Mel Gibson for the entire show tonight. I let Keith say his piece. Of course, Merlin and I were reviewing the film. You were there when the cesspool staff and crew went to go see Edge of Darkness at the movie theater on Thursday. What was your take on it, Pappy, before we go into back to the trenches, a little moment of brevity here?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, I'll wax a little sentimental with you. There is just nothing on earth, people, if God has blessed you with brothers like he's blessed me with all my brothers in the cesspool. I doubt if very many people have that with James and Keith and Henry and Bill and all the rest. I mean, it's just you just can't imagine the bond. It goes all the way back. You know, when we had the Duke conference here last October, and then we had one in October before that, and people, you know, the city, the state of Mississippi tried to shut us down. We were hounded by the news media in Tennessee. Everywhere we went, we were hounded like criminals. But our group, our brotherhood in the cesspool, we stood firm. We said, to hell with those people. We don't care what they do to us. They're not going to stop us. They're not going to shut us down. Duke got kicked out of God only knows how many hotels just for trying. They wouldn't even let him sleep. But we made it through that. That's the kind of people that we're made of. That's what we're made of, the kind of stuff we're made of. And we shared that movie. And like you were saying, James, in the second hour, we are human, and we like to go out and kick back once in a while because we get burned out if we just stay in the battle 24/7.
Everybody's got to have a little furlough, and we normally, as I said, take an afternoon midweek to prepare the show, and we normally get together for dinner, or for lunch, I should say. This time we got together for a movie. The highlight of that day was getting in the car afterward. We went out to the parking lot. We went out to the parking lot of the theater, got in Keith's expedition, and kind of just sat there and commiserated for a second. I can't repeat anything that was said because it was too foul-mouthed with the Bombardier going into storytelling mode. But, we have a good time. We share good fellowship. And that's something that I want to impress upon all of you, the reason I brought it back up, actually.
Well, it was out of, you know, what we were talking about, mainly Wordsworth and Byron. We're debating on, I think my favorite poet was probably Wordsworth. I think you said yours was Byron, something like that.
Yeah, we were talking about classic poetry, of course.
But you know what I liked about the movie? We made the remark about this too, people. You need to go see the movie. Anybody that's really patriotic and you want to bug the system. We all know who runs Hollywood. It's just a bunch of filth. I mean, that's all they turn out. It's not, you know, 80 or 90% of it is filth now. But if you want to see a good, solid, clean movie, you need to go see Edge of Darkness. And I'll tell you what I liked about it. We made this remark. There's nothing you can think up in your imagination. There's nothing you can dream up that really hadn't happened. I mean, in this, you know, these illegal manufacturing of atomic weapons in this country, that goes on. You know, it brings to mind, what was it? Time flies so fast, James. It's only been several years ago when two nukes just kind of, the Air Force just lost them. I don't think they found them yet. I mean, how do you lose two nukes, for God's sake?
Yeah, see, that's, and of course. And so, yeah, if you can think about it, it's happened. But it's good to see a movie come out that reinforces this as fact rather than just some sort of wild-eyed fantasy. But the point is this. I don't want to review the movie anymore. I think we've done that enough tonight. But the point is this. And the reason I brought it back up was to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, share fellowship with your brothers and sisters in this movie. And I don't say that trying to sound fanatical or anything, but yeah, brothers and sisters, you can call them that. You're good friends. Friends that are so good, it goes beyond acquaintanceship and almost into a familial type bond. These are the kind of healthy relationships we should have with people who share similar beliefs, and good, healthy, manly relationships with your brothers and, you know, that's something we try to do here, and if you let us set an example, we would encourage you to do that as well. We don't need to be reclusive. We don't need to be loners. We need to be part of the system, and the system needs a lot of fixing, but we need to live, you know, regular lives. Go out and see movies. Go out to eat. Go out and do these things and still be politically active and not back down an inch, but you can share the trivial things of life and still be an important player in reclaiming America's destiny. And that's the reason I wanted to bring all that back up, is because I truly want to stress the importance of forging relationships with good people, clean people, law-abiding people especially. But
you're right, James. And you know, you're absolutely right. And you know, we're all in the battle. We got our little 2 cents worth into the battle for liberty and what used to be the American way, the American dream, and you know, in the Western European Christian idea of a good life. But you know, even if we win, if we win and maintain our liberty, what good is it if we can't get some of the fruits of it? If we can't enjoy life, if we can't enjoy that liberty, why have it? You know, if we fight 24 hours a day, and we can't relax every now and then, but it's no good. I mean, why have it?
Well, you're just not going to last that long anyway. As Sam Dixon says, we've got to toil endlessly in the vineyards here, but you got to do it methodically. You can't just burn at both ends like a Roman candle. You got to
drink
gotta
up pace the wine yourself.
And the way you pace yourself is you surround yourself with good people and you enjoy life. And you can still remain active in doing so. It doesn't water down your activism unless you let it. But I do want to say this, Ed, very quickly here, and we don't have very much time at all. Big Tea Party convention taking place in Nashville this week at the Opryland Hotel. Sarah Palin's there. All these other neocons are there. And, you know, Ted Pike was on a couple of weeks ago to talk about this. And, you know, Scott Brown, the recently elected senator from Massachusetts, he's already turning his back on the people who elected him, which were the good people who make up the Tea Party movement. Unfortunately, it looks as though their leadership may be co-opted.
Surprise, folks.
You know, conservatives out there, any candidate who is not speaking up explicitly and unreservedly for you as a European American is not on your side and eventually will betray you. And in most cases, it won't take very long. It's already happening with Scott Brown. It was massive support, money, and mobilization from Tea Party types in Massachusetts, and in fact all over America, that propelled Scott Brown to a stunning victory in the seat Ted Kennedy held for nearly 50 years. Brown was just now sworn in, but already he's trying to distance himself from the Tea Partiers, saying they really had very little to do with his victory. Now,
yeah, sure.
If you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, we have the link to the article there, in which he says that they weren't that influential in his victory. In fact, they were the reason he won. But you can do
the research. James, I'd like to speak to that for a minute, if you don't mind. You know, as you know, I'm in.
We got 30 seconds, Ed.
Okay, hey, I'll talk. Maybe we'll have time when we come back.
All right, and I want to say this. But the same goes for Sarah Palin. She's not looking out for your interests. She's looking out for the bottom line. If she were on your side, she wouldn't be deathly afraid of talking about European Americans, and she would be speaking out against turning America into a third world hellhole via immigration, which she supports, by the way, along with Beck, Hannity, Limbaugh, and the other so-called conservative talking heads in the media. Folks, we got to take a break, but we'll be back right after this. Watch out for the Tea Party.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the program, everyone. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with you. And we got cut off there at that last commercial break. But to finish my point there, I wasn't saying beware of the Tea Party itself or the Tea Party members, but rather the leadership, and especially people like Scott Brown, for instance. But there was one good thing there that has happened thus far. Excuse me. Thus far at the Tea Party convention in Nashville this week, Tom Tancredo, former United States Congressman from Colorado, Tom Tancredo, he's one of the good guys, I would say, at least nominally good. He suggested from the podium to bring back the old literacy test. And that's something, of course, we could get behind, saying that President Obama was elected because, quote, we do not have a civics literacy test before people can vote in this country. Well, it's nice to hear the truth being spoken at one of these big confabs from a guy as credible as Tom Tancredo. And it goes without saying, if people had to be functionally literate to vote, most Republican and Democratic voters would not be able to vote, so therefore we might be able to get a decent candidate in there. But nevertheless, that's not the topic for this segment. We are now joined by one of our favorite guests, the very venerable Officer Jack McLam. And to give him a more formal introduction, I turn it over to my partner, Eddie Miller.
Well, good evening, Jack McLam. How are you doing, fella?
Hey, brother, doing okay, Eddie.
Can you hear me okay, Jack?
You're pretty low.
I'm having trouble hearing you, but I can hear you. But I can hear you well enough to get by.
Okay.
I would just like to give a brief introduction. Of course, we did earlier, but I feel like you're a good friend of mine, Jack. I've been talking to you off and on for years.
Yes.
You and Colonel Greitz, and you and Greitz are good friends. But I heard, you know, Officer McLam was the most highly decorated police officer in the state, in the history of the state of Arizona. He was shot up in a bus in an illegal alien who was dealing drugs in Arizona some years ago.
Yeah.
And the chief of police there in Phoenix, where Officer Mack was working, was a crooked piece of scum. And he told the Jack's fellow officers not to give him backup when he needed backup. And to make a long story short, Jack was like a pit bulldog. He backed down from nothing. He was the most fired and most hired officer. They would fire him from his job, but they would have to rehire him back, you know, after they went through the court proceedings and things. But finally he got shot up too bad and had to take a medical leave. And I'll tell you what, and I've been telling people too, Officer Jack, that you were an Oath Keeper before Oath Keepers was cool. I mean, before we even heard the term Oath Keepers, you were involved in the police and the military against the New World Order years, at least 20 years ago, maybe 22. Long, I know, I've been hearing about for 20 years.
About and 25 years now, brother.
25 years. I knew it had been a long time. All these people run around here crowing, saying we got a brand new organization called Oath Keepers, and we're so cool and everything. Well, Officer Jack was there 25 years ago, way ahead of his time, and a lot of people laughed at him and thought that would never go anywhere. Well, I'll tell you what, it's really picking up speed right now, and anybody that's anybody in the movement knows Officer McLam. Well, what I was wanting to get, the one thing, if Officer Mack would like to speak to it, I heard him on Alex Jones several weeks ago speaking to a thuggish federal government shutdown, the illegal shutdown of a gun show in Austin, Texas, probably the oldest gun show in Austin, Texas. And they came in, and they did it totally illegally, and they admitted that it was illegal, but they said, we don't give a damn, we're going to shut you down anyway. And that's not that movement, this illegal movement to shutting down gun shows and harassing gun owners, is exploding on the nationwide scene because our Obama, our dictator in chief in Washington D.C. right now, the Sodom of the Potomac, he is in there. He's called us the enemy. He's got gun owners and Christians and patriotic people that want to vote for Ron Paul, people that believe in the Second Amendment. He's labeled us as terrorists. He calls us the bitter clingers, folks, people that cling to our guns and our Bibles, and he says he's going to get rid of us. Officer Mack Lamb spoke to that and spoke to citizens' arrest and things, so I'd like to get Officer Mack Lamb's take on what happened in Austin, Texas, and how serious he thinks it is as we're lurching, picking up our speed, heading toward a total governmental police state and dictatorship.
Well, that's exactly where we're going, brother. When communist Chertoff was head of Homeland Insecurity, he didn't know how to set up a Soviet-style totalitarian military rule system, so he hired right under him the two top communist mass murdering communists in the nation, in the world, Marcus Wolf of the East German communist Stasi. He hired right under him, and then he hired Yevgeny Primakov, who was head of the KGB, the chief of the KGB, right under him, and they set up the Soviet-style totalitarian military rule system, and it's waiting right there now for lesbian Janet Napolitano to get the orders from phony president, communist abomination. And once he gives the orders for martial law, then Janet Napolitano will go forward with the Soviet-style totalitarian military rule system that Marcus Wolf and Yevgeny Primakov set up already, and it's waiting there in the wings for them to blow us up again like they did on 9/11. I guess you guys know that all the intel, military intel in the world, know that the CIA and the Mossad blew us up on 9/11, and we had the Italian president tell us that in a news report, that the Italian military intelligence agency knows that the CIA and the Mossad blew us up on 9/11. And according to our military intel, I was in the military during the Vietnam War and served at bases, military intel bases with a top secret clearance. And so I have friends and have had friends since those days. And several of these military intel people from the United States military contact me all the time and tell me about what's going on, and they tell me that they're planning to blow up or to drop biologicals on five cities in the United States to scare the American people. The CIA and the Mossad is planning this again, and they're going to blame it on Iran this time, that they're lying about that Iran's building nuclear weapons. They're not, because we've had military intel looking for 3-4 years now, almost 4 years, for any sign that Iran is building nuclear weapons, and they found zero, no signs at all. Every time they do a surprise inspection on one of their nuclear places, they find them refining uranium to 3.5%, which is for nuclear energy only, and never have found where they're refining uranium to 90%, which is what it takes to build nuclear bombs. So Ahmadinejad is telling the truth when he says that they're only using this their military labs, their not military labs, but nuclear labs to try to get nuclear energy for Iran. And they say that that's a right that they have. And every time we do a surprise inspection, we did 18 of them last year, just knocked on the doors, and they opened the doors and invited us in, surprise inspections there in Iran, and they found they were only refining uranium to 3.5%. So they found absolutely nothing to show that they're building nuclear bombs at all, and that's the same thing they did to us to get us into Iraq. They lied about Saddam Hussein. Now, the reason we went into Iraq was that Saddam Hussein had told, just like Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia, he had told the communist Zionists who run our country today that they would not be a part of the Antichrist New World Order. And so Saddam Hussein had to go, just like we bombed Serbia because Slobodan Milosevic said the same thing to him, and we killed 2 million Christians over there and took Slobodan Milosevic over to the world court and couldn't find any evidence to prosecute him, so we went in and murdered him in his cell.
Officer McLam, sorry to interrupt you, sir. We got to take a break. We're going to let you pick it up right where you're leaving off, right after this. Sit tight, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, continuing on now with Officer Jack McLam. Jack was giving us some very detailed and important information there before we had to go to that commercial break. Officer McLam, by all means, sir, feel free to take the floor and go in any direction you would like, continuing on with your previous thought. And if you have the time, give us a little more information when you can about that situation in Texas with the gun shows, because I know a lot of people are interested in that.
Okay, I'm leading up to that.
Sure, go ahead.
I wanted to go back to Serbia. Serbia was a Christian nation, and Slobodan Milosevic was a Christian, and he said no to the communist Zionists for their Antichrist New World Order, so we were sent over there to bomb them into the Stone Ages and killed 2 million Christians in our bombings, and then arrested Slobodan Milosevic. And after we took him and killed him in prison because there wasn't enough evidence to convict him of anything, then we turned over Serbia, the Christian people there, to the leadership of the Macedonian Muslim drug lords. So that's who has control of Serbia today, and they really are persecuting Christians over there terribly. But the communist Zionists hate Christians, hate them absolutely. And when I was a police officer in Phoenix, police investigator, the FBI put out a brochure in Phoenix. You guys might have seen it. And it stated in it that it was only for police officers' eyes only. It wasn't to get out to the public. And in that publication, it showed that Christians and anybody that mentions the Constitution too many times are suspected domestic terrorists.
Right.
And so we've made hundreds and hundreds of copies and handed it out to the public, us police officers did, because many of us were Christians and many of us were patriots, you know, and loved the Constitution. We took an oath to defend it. And so the FBI got so upset that they came out with a report saying, oh, that was a mistake, that was one of our crazy officers, agents, that put that out. The FBI didn't put it out, but they were lying through their teeth, because lesbian Janet Napolitano is saying the same thing. And you're right, James and Eddie. They do hate Christians, and they plan on doing to us in America once they get us under the Soviet-style military rule system. In 1918, when they brought in the Bolshevik Revolution there in Russia, the communist Zionists who were leading the Bolshevik Revolution, communist revolution, went out in the next 12 years, 12 to 15 years, and killed 66 million Christians over there so they could get the communist system going very well. And they hated Christians. And so they plan on doing that here, according to our military intel people, that they have 400,000 military troops, foreign military troops on our military bases here in the U.S., and they've contracted with Canadian military and Mexican military to come up from the south and come down from the north, and then the Chinese military they've contracted with to come from the east or come from the west, whichever, and put us under Soviet-style totalitarian military rule. And they have said that they will give 2 minutes when they come to your house and kick your door in. They'll give you 2 minutes to declare that you're not going to live under Christianity anymore and that you have to deny Christ. And if you don't, they pull you out in the yard and shoot you in the head or put you on a bus and take you to these concentration camps that have guillotines there now. And, of course, the Bible says, and they cut your head off once they get you to the concentration camp, and the Bible says in the final days that Christians will have their heads cut off. So they're all set up to do that, the communist Zionists that control our nation today. And so, anyway, Obama Nation promised when he was running for presidency that he would not try to take the guns away from the American people. But he and communist Eric Holder, our attorney general, are working day and night to take the guns away from the American people. And that thing at Austin, Texas, was the gun organization, the federal gun organization. I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, they came out and said to the gun show that nobody can sell private firearms unless they go through a dealer there in the gun show, and there can be no guns sold in the parking lot, which is done a lot at gun shows, by private owners. And so what they were doing is basically causing you to register your guns through the local gun show table there, and fill out the federal paperwork so the feds could pick it up and know that you have guns. And so I guess that did pretty much put the crunch on the gun show, and the gun show didn't do very well at all, you know. I hadn't heard that they closed the gun show, but I had heard that for sure that they had went in and did this enforcement, and there was no law. There was no law to base on the private citizens going to the tables there where the gun owner, the gun shops were, and filling out the federal paperwork. There was no law. And so a lot of the people refused to do it. And then Obama Nation and Eric Holder, two communists, who have set up now 32 communist Zionist czars to run the United States around the Congress and the Senate, because the czars don't have to do anything with the Congress or the Senate. They just obey Obama Nation when he tells them to do something. And they went out and had the FBI arrest 21 gun industry executives in Las Vegas who attended a gun show there. And this is closing down the gun manufacturers in America. They went in and they sent a undercover FBI agent into these top gun manufacturing agents and executives, and they had this undercover agent go in and bribe them into joining in selling guns to the Minister of Defense in Africa. They were supposed to pay 20% commission to the sales agent, who was an undercover FBI agent, and they were supposed to make $15 million on this work to give guns, sell guns to the country's presidential guard. And then after they made the deal to sell the guns to the African country's presidential guard, then they were all arrested, and they arrested them under Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Oh, God.
And so, in other words, the Abomination and Eric Holder, the two communists that are running our country, are trying to close down the gun manufacturers now. One of the guys there was the vice president for sales for Smith & Wesson, Amaro Gonclave. And I've got a list of all the guys here that were arrested. But same time, they're trying to take our guns away from us and make us register our guns in every way possible. They're trying to destroy the gun manufacturers here in America. That was 21 gun industry executives that were arrested.
Officer McLam, sorry to interrupt again. I tell you, this is an issue that really resonates with me because – as I was saying just before your appearance tonight, you go to these gun shows, you don't find more blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth populists than the people that attend these shows. But we are almost flat out of time. You know how radio works, being a radio man yourself. I would like to have you back on at your earliest opportunity to talk to us about what we can do to make sure that the Abomination's plan to shut down these gun shows and restrict our Second Amendment's rights doesn't get off the ground. But until then, is there a website? Is any of this information listed at greater detail at your website, perhaps, that people could go and research?
No. My webmaster went into Canada, and she's been held in Canada now, and they won't let her back in the United States. She's a U.S. citizen.
Don't travel out of the country, ladies and gentlemen. We got 10 seconds left. Officer McLam,
yes.
Listen, we're going to have you back on as soon as you can. I'm going to let Eddie work out the details with you. We're out of time tonight. It went by far too quickly, too much information to get out. But we're going to.
God bless you. God bless you, Jay.
God bless you,
Officer Mack. Thanks for bringing that information to the table. We love you, Officer Mack, and we're going to get you back on to finish the story. But that's all the time we got for tonight. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Officer Jack McLam. We'll see you next week, everybody, in the political cesspool.
Good night.